Lee is recused on this item. Doctor, if you'd like to come forward, you can go ahead and sit. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Chesson in case number 2479. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Chesson, please come forward and introduce yourself for the record.
Dr. Chesson.
Chesson, okay, yep. That was close.
Close.
See if I can say it again correctly next time. Dr. Chesson, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials to present to the board, please do so now.
No.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Wright, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. The December 15th, 2023, Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation regarding respondents' conduct while employed by Destination Pet doing business as Exceptional Pets Green Valley. There were concerns with respect to respondents' failure to complete medical records, delegating euthanasia services to staff, removing non-controlled medications from the premise, and errors or omissions in controlled substance logs that could not be accounted for.
Okay. Dr. Chesson, at this time I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Dr. Chesson, we would now like to give you an opportunity to address the board and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I don't actually have a lot of evidence for that.
Okay.
I didn't have access to those records, so I'm not sure some of them what they're referring to.
Okay. That is quite all right. And I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Chesson.
Yeah, I'll start. Thank you for being here today.
Okay.
So, in relation to your employment there, when was the employment terminated? When was the last time you were in the office?
Oh, God.
Roughly, I mean.
Maybe last July?
Beginning, middle, end?
I don't know.
Okay, but it was in July?
Yeah.
Okay. And since then, you haven't had access to medical records,
no.
Anything going on there? Okay.
I called and asked, and I was denied.
Okay. Before or after this?
After the complaint.
After the complaint, okay. So were you aware there were some incompleted medical records at the time? Or?
Yes.
Okay. What was your plans on in doing that? Why did that happen?
They had trouble with the computer there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they weren't functioning, and then when I had the chance, I would go back and fill in the records.
Okay. Did you have a list of the records that you hadn't completed, or how were you
going to
find?
No, I just go back through in the computer and look at them.
Just start looking, okay. So that was my question around there. The ketamine issues, do you know what was going on there with discrepancies? What
as far as I know, I did not use ketamine there.
Okay.
If it was there, the records were from before me, because I don't think I used ketamine there.
Okay, and it was under your DEA license at the point that things would have been ordered under?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
But I don't know that what was ordered under me and what was there to start with.
Okay. Did you do an inventory when you first got there of kind of what was there and transferred over to you? Or
not
just kind of
not that I remember.
Okay. Based on everything I saw, those are my main questions right now. If anybody else has any questions.
Okay. Any other questions from board members? Okay. Well, you could just stay seated since there is no other complainant coming forward. So in this case, if you have any additional remarks, anything else you would like to sum up at this point, I'm going to give you the last opportunity to speak.
No, I really don't, except a lot of it I don't have a memory of doing, in which cases they were, so.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And as long as there's no final questions.
I have a quick question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Dr. Chisson, it's your previous employer stated that you were observed removing non-controlled prescription medications.
And
can you explain why?
The best thing I can remember is one day I had a client of mine that lived in Tucson, and I was going to do a host call with them, and I probably grabbed some pills at that point, but as far as I remember, everything was returned.
Do you recall what you were attempting to treat for that house call? Or
with her, it couldn't have been anything because she's got four dogs. I believe it was excitation for storms and stuff.
Okay. Thank you.
Actually, in regards to that, if you took medications on a house call, what do you do when you actually prescribe medication at that point? How do you enter that information into a label? What do you do? Can you print it out? Is it handwritten? What happens?
Not when I'm there, but I go back to the clinic the next day and I take care of it then.
So you would have given medications, how would the owner have known how to give them in a written out manner?
At that point, I'd either write a prescription if I use meds, or I'd do it through a pharmacy. Most of the time I did it through a pharmacy for her, but I don't specifically remember that.
But in general, with taking meds with you, how would you have labeled a bottle or something outside of the hospital?
I would have had her handwrite them for me.
Okay.
Right in my left hand, so. but I have her do it, or again, I've used through the pharmacies.
When you say her, you mean an assistant that goes with you, or?
No, the client.
Oh, the client, okay, so you would just tell her what to write out.
Yeah, she's a personal friend.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. So if there's no further questions, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Okay. So thank you. So definitely jump in if anybody has any comments or anything there. But basically what I'm seeing here, and it's always difficult when you leave a hospital with access to records, what's going on, completing things. Unfortunately, veterinarians very commonly do have stacks of charts that they need to complete, and when you have a termination, it's very difficult to do that. When I look at the actual charts that weren't completed, they all seem to kind of coalesce around specific days. It's not really random across an entire time. It's kind of there. So when he says that there's difficulty with certain computers, I mean, maybe that could make sense. Again, it's all based on assumption here. But this is not just a huge trend over multiple different days and multiple different times over the time that he was there. It's kind of around early June, there's mid-June there. I mean, it's kind of sporadic here and there. We have had cases before where it's kind of a debate of when do you actually truly have to have medication or charts completed, and that's a difficult thing that we've debated before, but I mean, there are incomplete records here, and once you leave a hospital, it is very difficult to amend that. So there's a concern there. In regards to the controlled substance log, an inspection was done, and at that time, there were some issues with invoices, but not the actual dispensing of it. I don't think there was anything missing medication-wise there. I had to look back at the invoices, because if he hadn't ordered ketamine, I don't know if there's a comment on here about which dates on the invoices were there. I don't think there were, though. So that's kind of the question of, I mean, was ketamine ordered under Dr. Chaison, or was it previously there and he kind of took responsibility for it? But if those invoices were generated under a different doctor, is that really his responsibility? So I do have questions around that, and do we kind of postpone stuff to get actual records in time and date frame or what? But there was nothing on the inspection that showed missing medication, just the unopened inventory, it looks like. The So I go back to the actual concerns here.
Can you address, the premise said that house calls weren't allowed, and he's saying, I understand you said this was a friend. So yeah. What do our statutes state as far as, do you have to be allowed to do house calls, or if you did?
You have to be licensed to have a house call ability. There is that. So
a
house call
vet
is actually allowed under that premise license. I'm sorry?
Isn't that a mobile vet?
Yes, there's mobile vet and mobile clinic. There's mobile something and mobile clinic.
Mobile
just two different options.
Okay.
Yeah. She was a client that I saw at the clinic as well.
Yeah.
After the last premise inspection, it was just clinic hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Victoria?
Chair, members of the board, to clarify, so a premise license for a hospital clinic can also have the designation of a mobile unit,
mm-hmm.
which would have been the proper thing to have in this case, but I don't believe it did.
So in the case, though, if I called one of you up on after hours and I said, Dr. Wright, come and help me, is the issue because he took some medications from the practice, like...
That's kind of the hard
yes.
thing for me because, I mean, yes, you need to have that license to do mobile practice, but is this a one-off thing or is there a routine mobile practice going on? And, yeah, I mean, that's up for questioning with everybody here, is a one-off actually establishing a mobile practice, or was that trying to do a favor for a friend? But again, like I said before,
yes, it is.
Good intentions are a problem.
Yeah.
there is that. The actual drugs being taken off, that's a hard thing to say, were they actually stolen or not? I mean, Dr. Chaison said he brought them back the next day because we weren't dispensed. I did ask about, like I said, how would we get the actual requirements of a label on those medications if we're going to do that, and we had a valid explanation for that, in my opinion. I mean, as long as it's handwritten, I don't think there's anything that says it has to be computer generated, it just has to be handwritten in the actual records. And these are not control drugs that were taken, so like I said, I don't see that as a major issue there. It's just, is this a sticking point of, yes, this is a mobile thing, but how many vets do that all the time for just one off for their friends? I mean, unfortunately,
right.
that is probably something that happens. And is it actually, is that really a major issue, or because this was a in-hospital patient, we just went to a place to see it? That's a sticking point for me because I guarantee that's happening at almost every hospital.
And
almost every veterinarian sees
it. The fact that the answer to this question was he claimed he was doing house calls in quotes makes me go, this was not a normally occurring event.
Not a normally occurring, or it wasn't normally occurring.
Not. That he was doing this as a one-off.
Yeah,
if the way the answer was written is how I read it.
That's kind of how, and I guess, could I still ask a question then? Do you do this routinely, or is this just kind of a...
No.
Okay. That kind of gets me into a hard point of, is that establishing a thing, or is that just a one-off thing that's not truly a violation, because we are an established patient?
Ms. Solomon, do you have
yes. my concern is, if you're going to write a prescription or have a prescription written on site, why do you need to bring the medication with you?
What?
A label. A prescription label, not a prescription to get it filled.
But he could write a prescription on site and
yeah.
give it to them to fill.
Well, he could write it on site and have a bill. He could call it in and have a bill, or he could write a label and give it to them.
Yeah. As long as all the pertinent information is on the label, which... We can't. It was never
right,
prescribed,
no.
So we
yes.
can't say here or there if
right.
it was done correctly or not.
Right.
Dr. Chaison said that the medication was returned the next day. And again, we just have to kind of believe, is that true or not, or was it actually stolen? And I don't see any obvious ill intent that would lead me to think it was stolen, so I have to assume it was probably returned based on what he said. So, I mean, if we're having, so that is a thing there, but I mean, the main issues, I guess, what's that everything? Rimadyl,
yeah.
Trazodone, the notes, yeah, so I mean, the main issue is the medical records and being incomplete is what I'm seeing here. And I'd like to know everybody's kind of opinions, thoughts on that. It's pretty much just a cut and dry thing because, again, they weren't completed, but we were also terminated.
Right.
And what do we do in that point when we can't have access to complete our records when we've already...
And remind me, we don't have anything that says specifically when they're supposed to be.
You need to...
I know best practice...
You need to give them to the client within 10 days of being requested, and you need to, if it's an emergency situation, have them at that time. But I don't think completion is specifically said, just they need to be completed.
They're pretty incomplete from what I remember. They're
very incomplete. But I mean,
as far as like, you're going to go back and, you know, remember, oh yeah, I mean, we didn't even have, we were missing some pretty pertinent.
Yeah.
I understand saying, you know, they're.
And we have had cases before us where there's the stack of charts that haven't been completed and that
for
can be
years,
an issue.
Yeah.
But that's when they're actually actively employed and they're just ignoring it, whereas we were terminated and we weren't able to complete things. So that's kind of my sticking point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I suspect there was a little bit of both sides, right?
Yeah.
I probably intended to go back and do it and then the termination happened and he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would also say is, if there were computer issues and you couldn't write records, I, me personally, would be keeping a log of which ones I hadn't written so that I would know which ones to go back to, rather than just randomly going back and looking for ones that didn't get written, because you're going to miss them.
You're going to miss them if that's how you're doing your process.
So, I mean, I think, yes, the intent was good. He was going to go back and do them, but unfortunately there was no process in place. There was no way to follow up on it. There was, like, I just feel like it was kind of a, maybe a letter of concern kind of thing about medical records and the importance of medical records, but...
And that's kind of where I was leaning, is this actually a violation of 503.11, R311.502, it was L, 4, 5, and 6, or, like I said, is this a letter of concern about it? And I'm kind of leaning more towards a letter of concern personally.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean towards letter of concern just because there was no way for him to go back and complete them at the point he was terminated.
And again, we can make assumptions that maybe
he would have, or he wouldn't have, or it would have been done a year later.
But I guess we don't know. We're not going to know.
I have a quick follow up on the controlled substances. The former employer stated that there were controlled substances that weren't accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it wasn't the incoming, it was the outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
And that loss was reported to DEA. And your comment on that or response on that, Doctor, is?
The only one that I can think of that I think they were talking about ketamine, and I didn't use ketamine.
Which makes me go, was that there from a prior doctor? And that's concerning too, because when you take over a clinic's DEA, like, you have to transfer all the controlled drugs out of their name and into your name, and there's specific forms for that.
Okay.
It's not just like, oh, let me take over these drugs.
I start here.
Right. So I don't know, but I don't also know that that was on him.
Well, and also we had an inspection done recently after that for the new premise, and I mean, I can't imagine that the hospital would have fixed these errors without either notating it or saying something, especially if they're saying they're blaming Dr. Chaison on that. And the only violation we see is need the name of distributor on the invoice number and the invoice number on the inventory control drug log. We don't see an issue with actual volume. So if there was a problem on there, that means that the hospital corrected after terminating him, or it was corrected beforehand, which again falls within the bounds of the law. But I'm not seeing an actual violation of anything. I don't see a discrepancy. All I see is the invoice discrepancy, which I would need to know which dates those were done and under which doctor's DEA before I can blame Dr. Chaison on there. But I don't see a volume issue here. And that's kind of what's being accused. So I don't know where that's coming from.
Yes, that's what's in that.
So unless we missed it on the inspection. I mean.
Madam Chair, could I clarify just if you're referencing the board's premises inspection?
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind that the inspectors are not doing an audit at all. We're just verifying that they're properly maintaining controlled drug logs. We're not doing the DEA's job by checking to see if the transfer occurred properly and things like that. That's DEA requirement. So I just want to be clear that you're not believing that we checked something that we would not have.
Yes. But I feel like we don't have the information to judge this. It was reported to the DEA and let the DEA do their job.
And if they come back to us.
Yeah, exactly. If they come back to us, then it's different. But like right now, it's in their hands. It's not for me to look at.
I don't have any evidence one way or the other, but I have to assume if there's no evidence for, that it's against. So I would say, if the DEA comes back with a violation, we would know about that, I'm sure. I assume that the DEA would let us know, or you would let us know. And then we could reopen a case, but I don't see anything that shows a discrepancy. Nothing was submitted that truly shows that discrepancy unless I missed it.
It's just stated that there
was. Yeah, it's just stated.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I would make a motion to offer a letter of concern to, in relation to not timely completing records and making sure that's done.
Is there a
So
in any hospital in the future.
Dismissing the case.
Dismissing and offering the
issue.
Did they say offer?
Yeah, Mark always corrects.
We're not doing all these
numbers,
the words today.
I'm supposed to be the one that knows all this, but
the letter of concern to complete records in a more timely manner.
And then hopefully he's been listening to all of our dialogue and is hearing what our concerns are. So. About other things as well. So, okay. We have a motion and a second to dismiss case, 2475-79, and issue a letter of concern. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. The board has voted to dismiss this case. This concludes this matter, and Dr. Chasson, you will receive written confirmation of the board's action shortly. If you have any questions in the meantime, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview.